my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. We are an affiliate member of the General Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church. People need the Lord because we all need His life-changing grace. Sing along. Today's message is entitled, Fear and Faith Are Friends. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thanks very much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead on the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat was battered by the waves and was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Well, come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Amen. I might not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. Dr. Martin Luther King spoke these words to a crowd of people on April the 3rd, 1968. On April the 4th, he was murdered by a sniper's bullet. James Earl Ray pleaded guilty to murder and was sentenced to 99 years in prison. Now, I do not know it for a fact, but I believe that the intensity of his ministry, as it grew, Dr. King lived in the fear of exactly what had happened to him. Because of television, the story of King's assassination spread across the world. The United States felt fear and shame and hope, and while they grieved the tragedy of his death, there came an inspiration and encouragement to the black community and to other minorities in the world that seemed like it would never have happened. The power of his story of faith and the courage in the face of fear had dramatic influence on our world today and for years to come. You know, I thought of his story when I read our lesson for today. You see, you and I must understand that while this is an event in the life of our Lord, more importantly, it is a story about faith and fear that helped to build a tiny budding church that they had to face the storms and tempests of life in an unsure and unstable world, and they would be really help from this story. The church that Matthew had to build was not a brick and mortar. No, the church that he was building was made of hearts that found faith in the stories about Jesus. So it is so important for us to remember that Matthew and the other gospel writers did not have television and books and other kinds of media to spread the gospel. The stories were first told over and over and over so that they could spread like good news on the grapevine. More importantly, it is in these remembrances of Jesus, these stories, that had to contain the message of the kingdom of God in such a way that persons like you and me could understand them and claim the message for faith for our lives today. You see, at first glance, you and I might think that this is a lesson about Jesus having the faith to walk on water, and Peter was so afraid that he did not have faith to do the same thing, even while Jesus was in the water. But I want you to take a deeper look. First, you need to look at this story like Matthew's church would look at it, as you translate it for the meaning of the story in our lives. In fact, you need to think like those who heard the story as it went through the community of faith. You see, Matthew says, immediately, Jesus got the disciples to get into the boat and go on the other side of the lake. And then he dismissed the crowds. The story becomes a story about Jesus and the disciples now. But watch what happens. For the first time, Jesus sends the disciples off by themselves without him. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. Now this is the first time that Matthew teaches us that Jesus is praying alone, communing with God. Now, not only does Jesus send the disciples off by themselves, he sends them out to sea. Now, if you were Matthew in the early church, you would have understood the fear of being on the sea alone at night and the storms that beat up on your boat. For Matthew's people, the sea was a demonic sort of place. It was the home of sea monsters and spiritual darkness. It represents fear and the stormy, unsure world in which they lived. And remember, they were now separated from Jesus. Jesus was back on the shore. Right where they left him. Matthew says that by the time evening had come, Jesus was finally alone. He was separated from the disciples, but by then the boat was already being battered and far from land. Have you ever felt battered by life circumstances and far away from feeling full of faith, far away from Christ? Well, now the disciples were far away, not because of some dark sin. No, it was because of the sudden changes in the world in which they lived. You know, I'm told that on the Sea of Galilee that the conditions of the water could change in minutes. The water could be calm and the sun shining, and in just a few minutes the wind could come up and a storm hit and the waves could easily capsize the average-sized fishing boat. For almost a decade, the world has been in a state of flux, probably more than that. But it had sent a signal of fear and trembling for people who held jobs. And I remember just a few years ago when the word downsizing was so big, still doing it today. My friend Carlos worked for 31 years for his company. He was a salesman. His company manufactured large rock-crushing equipment. New technology and downward-swinging business meant the sales force of 12 would be reduced to 6. In a matter of a few days, Carlos was without a job. Younger men with lower salaries quickly replaced him and 5 others. Carlos searched for a job for over a year. His age, 57, was limited in the market. For his background and experience gave little hope. You don't have many companies making rock-crushing equipment. I went to see him, and as we sat on a rustic antique table on the back porch, the steam from our coffee cups began glistening in the first rays of the morning sunlight. Carlos had been up all night. Sadness and fear had a wrenching grip on his spirit, but now there was an air of calmness in his voice. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. He said, "I've been afraid, John. I've never said that before. I felt like I was losing my faith, and I began to ask myself, what am I doing wrong?" I began to feel some of his sadness because I didn't know what to say to him. Carlos had been a man of extraordinary faith. He tithed his income, he served his church, he did all the kind of things that would exhibit really strong faith. It all seemed to fit, his marriage and his children, all the reflections of his faithfulness. There was no signal, no warning, just the shattering news. 31 years, but now, gee, we just don't need you anymore. He said, "John, I feel like I've been in a hurricane." Well, we had both lived in South Florida, and I understood the image of hurricane. "What are you going to do?" I asked him. He said, "Well, I've been up all night. I've prayed a lot, and I've decided to walk on water." What? Do you remember the story in the Bible, he said, where Jesus told Peter to get out of the boat and walk on the water with him? Of course I remember the story, he said. Well, I never noticed it before, John, but when Peter got out of his little boat, he did it because he had faith in Jesus. But he began to sink. Now, he began to sink not because he did not trust Jesus. He already proved his faith in Jesus because he was in the water. He began to sink because of his great fear of the water. But here's where I found my answer. You remember, even while Peter was sinking and Jesus was saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now get this, he put a big underline in his voice. He said, while all this was going on, Jesus was reaching out to Peter to save him. In fact, the scripture says that immediately Jesus reached out to save him. John, sometime early this morning, Jesus reached out and kept me from sinking. I realized that my life was in a storm. The circumstances I have nothing to do with my lack of faith or trust in God. The real truth is that God and Jesus are walking through the storm with me, and I've felt like a new man. You know, 5 months later, Carlos found a job in another field. He had spent nearly all of his savings, and the struggle often over what to do next was just overwhelming. Door after door had been slammed in his face, and he said, that, you know, they told me I was too old. I had no experience. One day he said, maybe it may be raining on the outside, but I'm dry on the inside. Isn't that a great line? It may be raining on the outside, but I'm dry on the inside. Carlos has been a witness of faith to scores of other men who had the same experience of life storms. You know, when those early followers of Christ remembered the story of Jesus walking on the water, it was not a story of some magical, supernatural power that Jesus had to walk on water. No, it was a story that reminded them that Jesus had authority over all the storms of life, even those most fearful ones that lived in the sea. That's a great thing to remember. For Carlos, that same story became an anchor that kept him from sinking into depression and despair and in the face of these overwhelming circumstances. When he faced his fear, he found his faith. When he faced his fear, he found his faith. I hope you'll do the same. Amen.
Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
He can create in you a new heart and give you the gift of his indwelling presence. He is able. With Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can be more than a conqueror. All things are yours when you belong to Christ, because in belonging to him, you belong to God. Invite Jesus into your heart today. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Victorious living can be yours. And do write us this week. Our address, Methodist Hour, Post Office Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Post Office Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. And let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours, and may the Lord bless you and keep you.